And good day to you today, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the most exciting book that has ever been written, the Word of God. And we want to thank you for investing in your spiritual walk. I do want to let you know that there is a Friendship Evangelism event that is coming up on Tuesday, the 21st, I believe that is, at the church at Vieira. This is part of the Space Coast City Fest that will be taking place in the month of March. And if you would like to be trained in friendship evangelism, I believe that the start time of that is 7 o'clock. And so you want to put that down on your calendar, so that you don't miss that event. There's a lot of other exciting things that are coming up, and as I get an opportunity, I'll share those along with you. There's prayer events and being a friend of this festival type events, and so lots and lots going on with Space Coast City Fest, and we encourage you to get involved with that, to be praying for your unsaved neighbors and coworkers and loved ones. That who knows, this could be the year that Jesus turns their life around. So today we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Do want to invite you out to our services on Sunday. The tent comes down today. We'll be able to occupy our fellowship hall again tomorrow, and we will be bug free and excited about that. So we will look forward to seeing you at Merit Assembly of God Sunday morning at 10:30 and 6:30 of a night. So right now we're talking about the things that we should set our heart upon. I remember preaching a sermon years ago, lots of years ago, about a passage that said, God has set his affection upon us. And I don't know how you feel about being loved by the Lord, but it is the highlight of my life. The fact that every day that I get up, I know this, that the affection of God has been divinely placed in my life, and I am blessed as a result of that, and you are as well. So I remember not only preaching that message, I remember how an individual responded that day. They took a step, they acted in a way, not with it wasn't something that I had spoken to them, it was something that they sensed that God had placed in their heart. And they made that act, and it was a very memorable time at the altar that day. Right now, we're talking about, what are we going to set our heart upon? Are we going to set our heart upon the fleeting things that this world has to offer? Or are we going to set our affection, set our heart upon the things that God would be pleased that we pursued with our life? And so I want to take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We've been talking about set your heart on edifying others. I want to begin reading in verse number 16 today. We'll go down to verse number 20, and then we will pick it up from there. But it says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. I actually went all the way through verse number 21 in that place. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the reality that as far as believers go, there should be, there should be frequent contact with people that the Bible describes here in this passage as individuals who occupy the place of the uninformed. Talks about he who occupies the place of the uninformed. When I worked in retail, they told us that if a person was hesitant to buy something, now we were in a full service retail industry. I happened to specialize in shoes, and they said if a person hasn't said yes, it's because they do not have enough information yet. They don't understand the benefits. They don't understand the assets to making this purchase. And so you need to continue to inform them. You need to continue to educate them about the values of your product. Well, we don't have a product that we are peddling. In fact, as in my ministry, I have regularly declined opportunities to intermingle business and ministry. I wanted people to know that the most important thing that I had to offer was not a thing, it was a person, and his name is Jesus. And so I didn't want any product that man had generated to be inferior and people discredit Jesus because of this other thing that I had interjoined together. Jesus stands on his own merits. Jesus stands as the most important person in my life. Jesus stands as the most important relationship that I can offer an individual. And so here Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he talks about when they gather together that there are going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. There are going to be people who are spiritually gifted. There are people who are going to be moved by the Spirit, who are doing things in the Spirit. And yet at the same time, in that same audience, there are going to be people who are uninformed about what is going on. I don't remember exactly what year it was. It was probably 2011. I was attending one of our general councils in Phoenix, Arizona, and the district superintendent, or the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God at that time, had a close relationship. He used to pastor in California, and his son-in-law, I believe it was, attended Rick Warren's church out in Saddleback, California, or Saddleback Community Church. He attended Rick Warren's church. And so Rick Warren came, if you don't know much about Rick Warren, I will tell you this. He pastors a church that's not Pentecostal. And he got up and addressed the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal church, and he made a statement that was pretty much verbatim to this. If I miss a word here or there, it's inconsequential. He said, "The church in America needs the Assemblies of God." He said, "The church in America needs the Pentecostal moving of the Holy Spirit in our current time." He said, "But what we need is when the Holy Spirit is moving, for you to inform us of what is going on so that we understand what is taking place and we are not left in the place of just being freaked out because we don't understand. And so I want to share this with you today so that we can have a positive impact on those who are attending our churches and they don't have the biblical foundation, they don't understand the languages, but the verbiage that we use. Too many times we just get comfortable using our Christianese and we don't understand that there are people who may not know what those words mean. And so they're left to come up with a definition, and many times it's a definition that the world has placed, and it's not an accurate definition. For instance, the world thinks that if you give your heart to Jesus, that that is just the end of your life. It's the end of your fun. You have checked your brain at the door, and you have been brainwashed or something. Well, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ means the good news, and an evangelist is one who shares the good news. And so it is not the end of life. It is the beginning of life. It is not the checking of your brain at the door. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. And we have just now embarked on the greatest adventure of our life. So if we are going to set our heart on reaching those who don't understand the spiritual greatness of our God and what he wants to do in their life, then we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that explains and helps them to understand what is going on. And so we need to set our heart on giving thanks, on praising God, on worshiping God, and in doing so in such a manner that those who occupy the place of the uninformed will respond, amen. So be it. It is a statement of agreement. It says, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. You know, I've been around a lot of construction sites in my life. I've been around home construction. My dad was in commercial construction. I remember as a kid being on this construction site and getting to see what my dad did, and he took us on some adventures on those job sites that were very, very exciting. I mean, I have vivid recollections of them even to this day. But I tell you what I've never seen. I've never seen a construction site that was as sterile and as clean as a surgical room. Construction is messy. I attended a general counsel out in California, and it just blew my mind. They were doing construction there at the convention center that we were at in Anaheim, and they had a sign that said this: if you see dust coming from this construction site, call this number. It was like a call 911 if you see dust emerging from a construction site. I said, whoever came up with that concept has never been around construction. Well, construction of individuals, bringing them from a condition of spiritual deadness to spiritual life, that can be a wild ride. It can be a little bit on the messy side. And so we need to make sure in our services, in our churches, that we make room for people to come from a place of no understanding to the place that they say, I get it. Jesus loves me. He died on the cross for me, and he wants to be my Lord and Savior so he can help me succeed at life. That is the great news of the gospel. He can help us succeed in our marriage. He can help us to succeed in parenting. He can help us to succeed in our finances and in our relationships. Jesus is not afraid of taking on a project and bringing a person from a lack of information, a lack of awareness, to a place that they understand. So we need to make sure that we set our heart on worship in such a manner that it is not only going to benefit us and benefit God, but it is going to bring others along in their journey of faith, and they're going to be edified as a result of it. Verse 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Many people take this verse and say, well, tongues has no purpose. But Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul would later say to Herod in Acts chapter 27, or 20, the late 20s, not 27, it was before that. But he said, I wish everybody here was just as I am, except for these chains. It is not either speaking with tongues or not speaking with tongues. It's both. It is praying in the Spirit. It is singing in the Spirit. But it is also praying with understanding and singing with understanding so that others can come along in the process. So last week I had the privilege of preaching at Pastor Luis Barrios' church on Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, and it's a congregation where their primary language is Spanish and my primary language is English, and so there was an interpreter there, and they were praising and worshiping, and It was fantastic. I love the way that the young people, the kids get involved in worship. The adults are involved in praise and worship. It's absolutely fantastic. It is energetic. It is full of life and full of praise. But I would look up on the up on the wall, and I would see the words that were up there, and some of them I understood because I have a few years of Spanish class inside of me, but not every word was I able to understand. And then every once in a while, they would play a song, and I wouldn't recognize the words, but I recognized the music, and so I could go along. But it didn't stop me, even when I didn't understand what they were saying. It didn't stop me from worshiping God, you see, because I can worship God with my own words. I make up my own words to English songs, much less songs that I don't understand. So it's not strange for me. You know, it's kind of a family trait that I've passed on to my kids. It's like if you don't know the words, make up your own. Make up your own. And so I would just enter in. I'd close my eyes, and I'd just begin to worship Jesus. But whenever they would bring it to a place where I understood what was going on, then I would join in and say, I understand what they're saying, and I'm saying amen to it. It wasn't an either-or, either you worship in English or I'm out of here. That would be dumb. And for them, it wasn't, well, you either worship in Spanish or we're out of here. That would, you know, it's about worshiping Jesus and seeing him exalted in every person's life. And so there are a lot of people who want to exclude Pentecostals and charismatics. But I will tell you, we're not looking for relationships that exclude non-Pentecostals or charismatics. We're looking for the complementary relationship where together we worship Jesus in a manner that he wants to come and be enthroned on the praises of his people. And then that place of unity, there would be commanded blessing. You see, if you don't want the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, I'm okay with that. I can't make you. I'm not going to try and compel you. But I want everything that God has for me. I need everything that God has for me because I don't have as many natural resources as some other people have, but I have a God of unlimited resources. So It says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." So we need to also set our heart on understanding. There are a lot of people who set their heart on criticizing, on complaining, over attacking the things that they do not understand. Jude writes that there are people who blaspheme, speak evil of the things that they do not understand. There is only one thing worse than not understanding, and that is refusing to understand. There's only one thing worse than not understanding, and that is refusing to understand. So if a person doesn't understand something, then it's our privilege to walk along with them in that journey to bring them to that place of understanding. If a person doesn't understand about Jesus, then we want to introduce them to Jesus. If a person doesn't understand how they're supposed to live as a Christian, we want to introduce them to the Word of God and help them in that journey so that they understand. But a lot of people say that they don't understand when it's really not I can't understand. It is really, I won't understand. I won't understand. And that person that digs their heels in and entrenches themselves and refuses to go along this transformational journey that Jesus wants to bring them on, then at that point in time, we have to take a step back and say, okay, God, we need the Holy Spirit to work in such a way that you're going to be able to bring these people to understanding. I used to teach in a private school in Texas, and I had this one young lady that was in my class. She had siblings in the school. Her mother was also a teacher in the school, and she was just a straight A student. I mean, she excelled in everything until she hit fractions. And her mind, she just could not understand fractions. And I set out with a goal to help bring her to understanding. And it wasn't that she didn't make an A in fractions. She flunked in fractions. And in that particular school, you could not move forward until you had mastered the concept. And so I said, you know what? If this didn't help in bringing her to understanding, then I'm going to try something else. And so I asked someone else to try and explain the principles to her. I explained why it was so valuable. That didn't help. So I went and I got her mother and I said, do you think that you could help? I got older students that she looked up to and tried to get them to help her to understand. And she still didn't get it. But for her, it wasn't a refusal to understand. It still hadn't clicked in her head. It was one of those things. It had taken a prolonged period of time. It was beginning to discourage her. And I kept praying for this young lady, who's probably not a young lady anymore. She's probably a full blown adult that's in her 40s. And I just kept working with whatever insight that God gave me. And one day, as I was working with her on the principle of fractions, you could see it in her countenance. It went from confusion to understanding, in a heartbeat. It was as much like the bright idea from Ford commercial as I've ever experienced in my life. Her face lit up. Her discouragement gave way to a great big smile. And all of that academic scholastic ability that she showed in other areas suddenly transformed. It resurrected inside of her for the principle of fractions. She understood it, and she went on and she aced the test. She got a 100 on it. All because we set our hearts on understanding. God is not looking to keep us in the dark. He's looking to bring us to maturity and understanding. If you've got unsaved loved ones, maybe they're prodigals. Maybe they grew up in the church and they've heard more sermons than most of the people in the world. And yet today, that truth that has been implanted in them has not reached the level of understanding that their life is worth living for Jesus. I want to encourage you today that you set your heart on worshiping God, living for God, but also that you set your heart on doing it in such a way, knowing that there is going to be a declaration of faith in their life, that they will come to understanding. Maybe what we need is to remember as believers what we didn't understand when we were unbelievers. You see, I try and remember where God brought me from so that people who are now where I was, I can help them to get out of that place, out of that plateau, and get to the place where they too experience the joy of knowing Jesus. Let's don't become isolated from those who don't know Jesus. Let's just continue to pray. Let's continue to understand, to mature, and worship God in such a way. Say, you know what? It's only a matter of time till they say amen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.